Lord, we're going to be reading in Romans 12, 1 through 8. I guess Elizabeth couldn't make it down. We got to pray for that lady because she commutes from L.A. and she has to work every other Sunday. So otherwise, I know she'd be here. She wants a local job. She's a nurse. Lord, how good you are to us. And I thank you that you have spoken to us this morning, because it's obvious there are many needs here, Lord, and you saw them, and you have met them, I know. And so we praise you for that, Lord. We need help at this time of year when people's minds are on the material things. We need special help, Lord, that we don't get moved off course. Help us to keep our minds on you. Bless everyone on the property in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know whether... I know what's on my heart today, very clear. And it's about the operation of the gifts and ministries of the Spirit. And I know that the church, all Christian churches, most of them, to the present hour, operate like we are now, where there's a pastor and a priest and people. Well, that is not going to build the body of Christ. Can't do it with the pastor's preaching. And so we find in the New Testament, in Romans the 12th chapter, and 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter, and 1 Corinthians 14, this exhortation concerning the gifts and ministries of the Spirit given to the one body of Christ. Now, just that concept, the body of Christ, is really unknown to us. We hear people refer to the local body. That is not scriptural. There are local congregations, but the body of Christ is universal. In fact, it includes all the members of Christ who are part of Christ, who are in heaven and who are on the earth. It's all one body, and it doesn't change. Good morning, Michael. It doesn't change when we die. Death has nothing to do with membership in the body of Christ, absolutely independent of physical death. So that concept alone is really revolutionary when you think of the Christian denominations. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to get up here and curse all the denominations. They're people trying to do what they think is God's will. That's what they are. But it's evident that the Bible does not recognize divisions in the body of Christ. And I am persuaded that the events of the world will result, just before the Lord comes, in the true members of Christ's body to know one another and to come together. And it will leave the denominations as Babylon. When the Revelation talks about Babylon, it's talking about religion, whether it's Christian or whatever it is, the attempt of man to do what man believes God's will is. That's Babylon. And the name means confusion, because of the confusion of tongues. Well, I'm not saying that we should do anything, because some are saying, well, we all should come out of the Babylonian structures. I realize that. But all that will do is create another Babylon. We have to wait until Jesus says, now. And in the meanwhile, what we have to do is to find out what our ministry is in the body of Christ. Now, it may be true, I'm not going to swear to it, but it may be true that there's very few people looking at me in the congregation who really knows what his or her ministry is. See, we haven't, I guess it's been caused by this idea that the Christian salvation is to save us from hell and go to heaven. That may account for our ignorance of what we're supposed to be and do. I don't know. But I do know that it's very strong on my mind and heart to begin to push this issue. Now, you are, we haven't read our passage yet, but later we'll get in 1 Corinthians 12 that says, the Spirit has given to every member of the body a gift. Every member. There's no member without a gift. But the trick is, see, if you're waiting to die and go to heaven, obviously it doesn't make much sense. But if you're talking about building up the body of Christ, that's a different thing. And to make a long story even longer, God wants you. I think I know what my gifts are. But I'm not sure everyone facing me does. And God wants you to get serious about this issue. We have one of the most dreadful parables in the Gospels about the person that buried his gift, didn't use it. It's not often you hear the Lord saying to his people, you wicked and lazy servant. He didn't talk that about adulterers or fornicators or thieves or liars or robbers or anything else. Just to people that did, and they're the Lord's servants, according to Matthew 25. He came to his servants. And he wanted interest on the gift. And everybody was, telling him, Lord, I gained five times what you gave me, or 100%, however. And others, you gave me 10 talents, here's 10 more. And it came to this poor guy, and he had only been given one talent. Now, a talent was a lot of money, by the way. We're not talking about 10 bucks. It's a lot of money. Talent is a lot of money. And he was afraid. He was motivated by fear, apparently. And he was afraid he was going to lose the talent. And he buried it. Well, that does not seem to us like a great sin. If he had gone out and murdered somebody, would say yes, or had robbed a widow or done something nefarious like that. But all this guy did was not use his talent. This impressed on me strongly, people, so much so that I think it represents part of the restoration that is occurring in our day. I think part of it is this idea of every member of the body of Christ having a gift and using it. Now, the body and the body of Christ is a fearsome concept because it means that we are part of the Messiah. See, it's the body of the Messiah. There's a head and a body, but it's one Messiah, one Christ. And so it's a fearsome concept, and one not to be taken lightly. It has nothing to do with denominations or organizations or institutions or anything. It has to do with our relationship with God's Son. And as I said, I think most Christians, at least in America, are not aware that they are part of God's Son. I don't think we are. Probably because it hasn't been preached too much. What's been preached is come to church, That's understandable. That's kind of weak. Now, what builds the body, and according to Ephesians 4, we're supposed to be brought to the stature of Christ. Well, you know, whoa, that's pretty heavy. But that's what it says. And all the gifts have been given for that purpose, to build us to the standard that is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Boy, if that doesn't give you chills, nothing will let us do. But the only way it can be built is by the various gifts and ministries. So it's apparent that if the gifts and ministries are not operating, the body is not being built. Now, why is it important for the body to be built? Because when Christ next appears, he's appearing for the purpose of setting up the kingdom of God on the earth. I know we prayed, "Thy kingdom come," but we've never believed it. But it is going to come. And it's going to come, and I'll tell you when it's going to come. You want to know? It's going to come when when the body of Christ has been built to maturity to the extent that they can work with Christ in installing the kingdom on the earth. That's the whole ball game. That's all that God is looking for, is his kingdom. And you can't do it if 90% of the Christians are not operating their gifts. It can't happen. We have a lot of things in the churches that go on. Sometimes, now we have, as far as I'm concerned, we have the best music program, worship program around. That's my opinion of it. It's very good, and you notice it always leads us. I don't know if you noticed that, but it always leads us into the presence of the Lord. You can feel the presence of God, and the purpose of that is so we'll be ready for the Word, because it's the Word that builds us up. Now, you can have a marvelous robed choir, you know, all singing antiphonally or however you want. What it does is it entertains us. It doesn't build us up. And so if you have a preacher who's got his notes and he preaches from his notes, and God bless him, I'm not coming down on the preachers. Many of them would be outstanding in the secular world, but they obey the call of the Lord. But if you have a preacher who's preaching from his notes, and then you have a choir and you have musical specials, you haven't done anything to build the body. Choir music will not do it. Great youth rallies with everyone praising God won't do it. You know, I spoke about, and I know, Lloyd, we haven't read it yet. I'm well aware of that. I've talked about if a young person wants to be a disciple, they have to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Jesus. Well, very often mother doesn't want that, because she doesn't want her little darlings to suffer. Well, I saw something interesting, because I know that God wants the young people to be disciples, just like we're supposed to be. Well, I saw something interesting in the paper. How God gets his will done is enough, I tell you. The Sweetwater Union High School has been losing students to the charter schools and religious schools. So you're talking millions of dollars in loss to the Sweetwater Union High School District. Millions of dollars, not pennies, millions. So the superintendent of schools figures out, what am I going to do about this hemorrhage in our financial system? So what he's done, they had a nice program, sports for middle area, not high school and not teeny tots, but in the middle there, boys and girls, a sports program operating out of the YMCA. So he passed an edict that no member of a charter school or non-public school can participate in that program. You know, he doesn't have the interest of the kids at heart, pardon me. But I understand. I've been in school work long enough to understand the economic pressure on the man, so I'm not criticizing him. But I'm telling you where good will come from this, if you don't see it already. The boys and girls that have been attending the religious schools and the charter schools will have to decide whether they want to play sports or stay with their program. Now, staying with their program means they will not be exposed to sexually induced programs and other abominations that go on in the public schools, the homosexual agenda and the rest of it. So the youngster has to make a choice. Either I play football, I play basketball, or I stay at home and I learn things without this other ungodly stuff. Do you see that? Right there is where the youngster makes up his mind or her mind whether they're going to be a disciple or whether they're going to be a nice Christian attending church. I thought, how sneaky God is. So that's a way in which a youngster can deny himself or herself for the sake of following Christ. Because there's no question but the new rules coming down from Sacramento about homosexual instruction and exalting previous distinguished people who were homosexuals to kind of nudge them toward that lifestyle if they so choose. That's what's going on in the public schools. So the charter schools, the religious schools, Carol teaches in a charter school, Sarah Damiano's teaches in a charter school, so you can see the kind of instruction that those kids will be getting. So, you know, in a godly teacher, they're still teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic, hopefully. These are the things you need. But they're not bringing in, have you examined your sexual identity lately? You know, which is so abominable it passes description. So, there's an example of where a young person can be a disciple. Now, all of us have got to learn that because we're soft as marshmallows in America. We do not understand. Now, we had a good example of what some refer to as body ministry this morning, didn't we? Now, if we had a nice scheduled program, there would have been no opportunity for Kathy or Nancy to participate, you see? And so we had something that builds up the body. Now, what builds up the body? The fact that you were telling the Lord that you wanted help with your problems. That will build up the body. See? But if we had a nice choir time, you know, and everything and all that, and the organist played what was he doing? It was a toccata or something that I like so well. But anyway, they did that. It'd be marvelous. Whoa, listen to that. But it doesn't do a thing. But what we had this morning does. See the difference? Now, we had a little peep out of Nancy and out of Kathy, but God wants the rest to find out what your gifts are, and I mean get serious about it and take a shot at trying them out. And if you stumble, no problem. I'm not going to treat you harshly. I may give you what I think is a word of wisdom or something, but if you treat people harshly when they're trying to step out in the gifts of the Spirit, you don't have to worry about them ever trying to do that again, because they won't, because people are very fragile. So you will be exhorted, you will be comforted, you will be instructed, and I mean that in a gentle way, and guide you into what God has for you. Now, there may be some here looking at me that God wants to give you a gift of healing. You say, oh, that would never be. Well, that's how Catherine Kuhlman started. She's just a person, and all of a sudden, people began to be healed when she was prayed for them. The gifts of the Spirit are really wonderful, and they are real. They're tangible. You don't have to make up something and say, I believe, I believe, I believe. What you do is you pray, and when God's time comes, you'll feel it. You'll feel it. I go right back now in my mind to 1948, sitting alone by myself in the chapel of the Brigham Bible Institute and reading my Bible, and somebody appeared by my right shoulder, and all of a sudden the Bible made sense. And boy, if you don't think that was real, it was. This lasted from 1948 to 2011. They're real. I'm not that smart. Maybe people think I'm smart. I'm not. I have a gift that God has given me. And I'll give God the glory. I don't get stuff by studying the Bible. I get it in the middle of the night. He just opens it up. There it is. And he wants the same for you. So the thing won't operate with me up here spouting off at you. This morning, the job was done, if you'll notice, by two members of the congregation. Did you notice that? The important thing that was done this morning was done by members of the congregation. And that's what God wants. Now, in the process, we're going to learn a lot about the Lord. Maybe now we're ready for our reading, Romans 12, 1 through 8. And you notice this and see if it makes sense to you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. See, do you see the difference in worship? This is what worship is. It isn't a big whatever. This is what worship is. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, I'm stopping you, which I know is very irritating. Today we have an unprecedented amount of information coming to us. Never in the history of the world has there been anything like today with the iPods and the iPhones and the internet and the television and all the rest of it. A barrage of data is coming on us. I had a laugh as looking at my UK news that I like so much. It showed on two different occasions, there was two different ladies pulling shopping carts with two, not one, but two huge televisions, you know, these 46-inch things, like one in the cart here and pulling another cart behind them. Two that just happened to catch the photographer's eye. Can you imagine that? Two 46-inch Westinghouse televisions. So that's where we are right now in this season. And when you're talking about finding a gift of the Spirit, especially like a gift of miracles or a gift of healing or something like that, you're talking out here somewhere. That isn't where people's minds are. They're on Black Friday or Cyber Monday. So I have a job. The worst time to be a deeper life preacher, I'm telling you, is Christmas. It's the worst. I've learned that by experience. All right, I'll try not to. Oh, what I was talking about was transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, all this stuff that's coming on is renewing your mind, but it's renewing it in the wrong direction. You're losing right there. You're losing right there. Oh, but they're so much fun. And the smartphones now, and I know they track me all over the place. I realize that, but I don't care. I've got my smartphone. Do you know I lived many years before Facebook was even invented? And I have never missed it to this day. Watch what you're listening to. It's affecting your mind, your thinking. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's how we're transformed. Brother Thompson, how are we transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now that, now you know people preach that there's three wills of God. There's the permissive will. And I'll tell you who in the Bible went by God's permissive will was Balaam. He went by God's permissive will. The idea is there's one will of God. How can there be two will of, if you tell your child to go upstairs at 9 o'clock and turn off the light and don't watch the television, that doesn't mean he goes until 10:30 because what you gave was your permissive will. You either turn off the light when the mother says or you don't. Is that right? Well, that's that way with God's will. It's what it is. There's no, what it means is his will is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. Not that there's three wills of God. I've heard that preaching. People do anything out of, they can get out of serving God and doing His will. It's really ridiculous. Make a horse laugh and grow feathers. All right. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Now faith, see, faith comes from God. It's not, you can't work it up in your soul. I believe, I believe, I believe. Faith is a gift from God. You can pray for it. Should pray for it. But you can't say, I believe, and then open your eyes, did it happen? That's not faith. All right. So I've irritated you further. All right. Verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now notice the expression, let him do it. Let him do it. Now operating a gift, even speaking in tongues, is a twofold operation. You have to do your part, and the Holy Spirit does His part. Sometimes people who want the baptism so badly are waiting for God to do it all. Just take them and take their mouth and do it. It doesn't work that way. You have to, it's kind of both of you kind of going together. And I told you before, when I'm a hard nut, cerebral type, and I had an awful time speaking in tongues. And the students in the Bible school actually had Jericho marches around me trying to speak in tongues. And I go down the middle of the night, I'm scared of the dark anyway, and trying to speak in tongues. Never happened until I was in a bus station in San Bernardino late Saturday night. I had visited my mother, and I was on my way back to the Bible school, and there was no bus available, and I was in a snit, and I was looking at the schedule and talking in tongues. So, but I didn't realize it because I was so anxious to get back to the Bible school. So the next morning I was praying. It was my habit, me and a cotton picker from Texas named Truman Cumbie. We'd always go down there before everybody else and pray. And Brother Cumbie every morning would say, Lord, bless Brother Thompson with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There was no Holy Spirit in those days. It was all the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit was something different. So when I heard him, you know, it came to my mind. I thought, I wonder if I really spoke in tongues in the bus station. So I thought, well, I'll kind of try it. And sure enough, the first day I opened up the dam, I'll tell you for sure, and out it came rolling. Brother Cumbie stopped praying. And he says, thank you, Lord, for baptizing Brother Thompson with the Holy Spirit. So, or Holy Ghost, rather. We must be kosher around here. So, I've been speaking in tongues ever since, but I know how to do it, you know. I could speak in tongues right now. And people say, well, then that isn't God. But you see what it says? Let him do it. Let him do it. I was a long time learning to use my gift, believe me. I tried a couple of times, and it didn't work. And other times, when I least expected it, it worked. Well, I guess it took me a couple of years before I knew how to stir up my gift. See, the Bible says, stir up the gift that is in you. I didn't know how to do it, but I finally learned. I can't really put it in words. It's just something you have to work at. And I know, you know, how to stir up my gift. And not inappropriately, but appropriately. So that's what God wants for every one of you. You see, if it is just me, God would never give me a gift of miracles. You know, Paul said, did I finish the reading? Probably not. Yeah, I did. You see, all those different gifts, encouraging and everything. For Jeannie's sake, I'll put in here watering the plants, and there's a whole bunch of stuff. So Paul said at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, desire the better gifts. Or I think King James says the best gifts, and NIV says the better gifts, something like that. Well, I thought, how do you know? There's nothing that says is better or best. What's best? What's the best gift? The ones that are most spectacular or what? And then I was noticing the other morning when I was reading in 1 Corinthians 12, it says that he that speaks in tongues is good, but he that does prophecy is better. Oh, well, prophecy, and that's right there. Prophecy is better than tongues. Well, why? Because it edifies, which means builds up. So then I thought, well, that must be a key to it. And then I thought, well, what it boils down to is the best gift is the one that is needed, not the one that just calls attention to the person who is speaking, but what is needed. And Mark Overton has been trying to persuade me for years, and I know he's right, that what we need is miracles. What we need is miracles. We've got the word, and the thing that would really shake up the third world countries in particular is miracles. And many of them are experiencing miracles. We don't have them in America because we're too well educated and we're too proud. But they are happening in other countries. Now, if the word of the kingdom is to spread earth-wide, then there's going to have to be signs following. Remember, the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. They were not doing the signs. The Lord was. The Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. So when we're getting into the subject of ministries and gifts, we're talking about a dual operation. We're talking about let him do it, and yet the one in control is the Lord. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. I'll show you something here that you may not have noticed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And I don't think the gifts and ministries that are listed in the New Testament are the only ones at all. Audrey and I were in a church one time, Floyd McQuinney, by the way, and there was a lady there that played the piano that had never learned. God just gave her the gift of playing the piano. So don't think that these are the only gifts that there are. When you pray, God will give you something that is uniquely fitting to your personality. It uniquely will fit your personality. That doesn't mean, you know, that if you're a teacher, you're going to get a gift of teaching. Some say that. That's not true. You can't bind God like that. It may be something that you never dream you would have, but I'll guarantee you something. If you pray for a gift or a ministry so that you may be an active part of the body and not dead wood, God will eventually come and do something. And I can't tell you what, but it will be wonderful. It will be surprising. It will fit the need. You know, if you want to play the piano, there's no use trying to do it with your feet. How many know that? But when it comes to walking, you do better on your feet than on your hands, unless you're real gymnastics. So what I'm saying is the best gift is the one that is needed right then. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is needed in our assembly? What is needed here? Well, we needed two people to speak about, because, you know, you don't get to altar line with people when somebody's just talking out of their hat. It's because there are a lot of people here that had needs. That's the way it's supposed to be. God gave us a good illustration of the thing he knew he had put on my heart to preach. Right there. Right there it is. Now, some have said, well, what the Bible means is in any given believer that he could have the gift of healing at a time, he would have miracles another time, he could have tongues another time, and so on. I don't believe that. It is true that God can use any Christian any way he wants to, but I think by and large there are people. I remember Brother Gentile's been here. Maybe some of you remember Brother Gentile. Now, that man has a gift of prophecy that won't quit, and it's very accurate. Very accurate. So other people may prophesy, but I don't want to say he's a prophet, but whatever. So I think by and large that God wants to give you your own personal ministry and gift, and it will delight your heart. I'm telling you, it will delight your heart. But you've got to pray. Covet the best gifts. All right. There are different kinds. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. So the gifts come from the Spirit of God. That's where they come from. Okay? Is that all right? There are different kinds of service, or literally administration, but the same Lord. Now that means that we do not administrate the gifts. Jesus does. See, the Holy Spirit gives the gifts, but Jesus administrates them. Now you say, why are you pushing that? I heard a preacher once say, now I'm going to put on my administrative hat, and he was going to do whatever he was going to do. Well, he left me right there, because the Lord is the administrator. You know, ambitious religious people don't like that. They don't like that. They want to be free to do whatever they want to do. Well, that isn't the way it works. You've got to be in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ and hearing him. The Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. We don't have signs following today because we got people trying to administrate the gifts. And that's widespread. The charismatic move went right into that. Now do this and we'll have the Holy Spirit. Do that and we'll get the Spirit and so on and so forth. Well, that's all Babylon. God wants people who humble themselves and wait and hear from Jesus. Oh, I love to hear that if I have to preach it myself. Now it says there are different kinds of working, but the same God. You know what that means? Put the three of them together. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts. The Lord Jesus Christ administrates the gifts. And God the Father gives the power. You get those three going, there'll be signs and wonders in the church. Now, it doesn't mean you can sit home comfy watching your 46-inch TV and while you're working the gifts of healing. It doesn't work that way. God may call you to some godforsaken spot on the planet and there give you the desires of your heart. You're not going to have everything the way you want it if you go praying for gifts. Then God says, okay, if that's what you want, let's go. And it doesn't mean you're going to live your nice, comfy American life while you work gifts. It isn't going to happen. Oh, boy. Oh, I didn't know that would be the case. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the way it is. You pray for gifts, God will answer. You ask anything in my name, I will do it. But you've got to be willing to go where God sends you. I notice sometimes in Isaiah, you know, it says, Isaiah says, here am I, send me. And I don't know how many preachers preach that to God's people. Just call on the Lord and he'll say, here, and say to the Lord, here am I, send me. but they don't read the following verses. The Lord said, go to a people that won't listen to you. How would you like that for an enthusiastic commission? That's Isaiah 9. You can check it out for yourself. Here am I, send me. The Lord says, who will go? Isaiah says, here am I, send me. And the Lord says, go to a people that won't listen to you. But how many? That was 800 B.C. What would that tell? How many years ago is that? We're just now understanding Isaiah. He said, here am I, send me. The Lord says, okay, but they're not going to listen to you. Tradition has it that he's the one in Hebrews that was sawn in half. But today, we hear him in Handel's Messiah. That's what I mean. It doesn't work in your comfy, little, social, comfortable sphere. There may be a great need right now in Lebanon, and God sees it. And you're here in Poway crying out, oh, God, you know, I want the gift of miracles. And the Lord says, I know right the spot for you. That's the way it goes, people. So you've got to open yourself up to the Lord. That's why it says, present your body a living sacrifice so that you may prove his will. And the context means that you prove his will in gifts and ministries. That's the context of Romans 12, 1 through 8. Doesn't mean you learn his will and everything, whether you should drink coffee or Ovaltine. It means that you will find the gift. And when it says, let him do it, what it means is, once God shows you that you have a gift in ministry and it begins to work, whether it's with children or old people or whoever it is, or with the nomads in the Negev, wherever it is, you're to make that gift the first priority of your life. It isn't something that you tack on your life. It is your life. You say, but it's a little thing. It doesn't matter. Have any of you ever had a problem in your body with a gland not working? Probably not. I'll say you can be 6'2" and weigh 225 pounds, but there's little tiny glands in your body, and if one of them stops working, you're finished. You have to go on dialysis or something. And that's the way it is. You say, my ministry is not important. If the Holy Spirit has given you a ministry of some kind, whether it's miracles or encouraging others, you wait on that gift. That is what your life is all about. It's not about 46-inch televisions. And you say, well, you're kind of drawing a long bow on that one. Well, just consider the issues here. Christ wants to come. He wants to come and establish God's will on the earth. What do we see today? War, injustice, rape, pillage, little children being molested and everything else. Jesus wants to come and straighten that out, bring justice to the nations. He can't do it until you begin to get serious about your gift. Now, are you ready to present your body a living sacrifice? There goes all my hopes and plans. I wanted a 4-bedroom, 3.5-bath house, 2 cars in the garage, nice pension, nice out there. Forget it. You're carnal. You don't have any idea what's going on. You're not a disciple. You're a worldly church attender. And ever read the story of David Brainerd? He died, I think, at the age of 29, giving his life for the Indians, all day in prayer, weeping, interceding. That's a Christian. That doesn't mean that's going to be your ministry. It might be taking care of children. I can't tell you what your ministry would be. It's a glorious adventure. Maybe you believe me, maybe you don't, but it is the truth. Now, notice. Oh, I want to emphasize that. You have to make it the priority of your life. God is not going to give you a gift so you can attach it to your business as usual. It's your reason for living. It's your reason for being in existence. It's your reason for being a saint, a holy one of God, is that ministry. You say, but it's very small. It doesn't matter. God deems it important so that his body will function correctly, and it won't without it. It will not do it. Now, I'm in a conventional situation here, a pastor preaching to you, that's fine. But as I say, we're in a change, and we can see it in the newspaper. Either if Europe goes broke, what's going to happen in the United States? What's going to happen? You know, we've got the homosexual agenda. We've got the Islam coming in. Our nation slowly but surely is changing. We've got the occupiers. Well, you can laugh at them, but they're touching a nerve deep in the American heart. They kind of resent the big banks and the big industries and all this. And they know they're working and slaving away for Wall Street. Intelligent people understand that. And there's a nerve deep there that's being touched. And so what it will be like in America in 10 years, I can't tell you. But I'm telling you, we're going to be taken out of our comfort zone one way or another. And what God wants is his body operating. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, that what that's saying actually is, now to 20% of the Christians, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Is that what it says? What does it say? Does that mean you? I mean, does it mean you personally? Does it mean you're supposed to have a gift of the Spirit? But you're poor middle old me. I'm nothing. Look at me. I'm nothing at all. How could it mean me? Or if you're over the age of 60, you figure, well, my life is shot. God isn't going to do anything with me. I just hope that my retirement holds up or Social Security doesn't go broke. See, we all have our problems. We all have our reason why we can't do what God says. There's older people that have done wonderful works. Once it dawned on them that they are still useful. And younger people. God is giving gifts to young people these days, I noticed in reading. All right. To each one. How many here are a one? Anybody? Most of us. All right. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. God has given me that on occasion. There would be an almost impossible problem come up in the Bible school, and God would give me such a clear understanding of the thing, I knew exactly. You know, it's a kind of a, aha, that's the answer. It could be you. It could be you. Doesn't matter whether you're smart or dumb. It's a gift of the Spirit of God. To another, the message of knowledge. What's the difference? Well, wisdom tells you what to do. Knowledge tells you what exists, what is true. It's kind of like prophecy. Brother Branham had a wonderful gift of knowledge. He's an old-time minister. He's dead now. When people come up before him for healing, he would say, now you live in such and such a state, and now I see a picture of your street, and there's your house, and you go on. Well, by the time you got through, that person was so full of faith, she'd say, boom. He put his hand on him. His hand would swell up like that. Swell up, and he could only pray for 6 or 8 people in an evening, and then they had to kind of carry him out. This big, swollen hand, and he'd lay it on people. Talk about miracles. Well, you say, but Brother Branham was a great college president. No, he was a forest ranger in one of the poor southern states, and an 8-foot angel appeared to him. William Branham, William Jefferson Branham, and gave him a gift of healing and miracles and knowledge. And it could be you, is what I'm trying to get across. You say, but I'm not, you know, a forest ranger in Alabama. You're you. And God, you know, how frustrating it must be to Jesus to see all his people that he's given gifts to and they don't have the foggiest what they are. And then when they get them, what you have to watch out. Now, I'm going to assume some of you, as a result of this exhortation, are going to get great gifts of miracles and healing. I have no doubt about it. But then you've got to watch, because many, many have fallen. When they got gifts like that, they have fallen. And you can read about it in a book called God's Champions, I think is the name of it. God's Heroes, God's Champions, something like that. And you can read about these. And they're just average people. But they were desperate for God. And when it says at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet, that word earnestly is interesting. It means covet it. Like, I've got to have it. One guy went into a house and had his friends nail him in, nailed him shut. He said, I'm in here until I get the gift of healing. And he got it too. So that's what God's looking for. Somebody that believes him, wants that gift. And in the meanwhile, your ego involvement will die, your personal ambition will die, and everything when you see what it's going to mean to you to operate that gift. And you come out from it a saint, and you'll bless many people. Shall we stand? Lord, I thank you so much that you made us aware of how the body can operate this morning. That was so terrific, Lord. And there were people here that had needs I had no idea. No idea. You kind of gave me a vague kind of understanding, but nothing that I could lay my hand on. And there it came. And we were able to go forward with it. Now, Lord, teach us from that. Help us to understand. And help us to apply it to ourselves. We think, oh, but they don't know, Brother Thompson, what I've got to do. I've still got presents. I've still got this and that and the next thing to do. And after Christmas, it'll be something else. So, Lord, help us to seize the time today. Today. I pray that each one of us will devote at least 5 minutes and ask God for your place in the body of Christ. Ask God. And God will answer you. But you've got to mean business with God. Because the great train of redemption is moving on. And you don't want to be left behind. So, Lord, I pray that each one of us will take it to heart and realize that I'm the one, Lord, that you want to use. Whether anybody else wants to be used, I want to be used. Just work in my life, Lord, and bring it to pass, because your word says it plainly and clearly. And I know you don't speak in vain. So, Lord, grant to each one of us that fervency of spirit, especially now when we should be thinking of a million other things. Help us to get our minds focused on Jesus, the great administrator, so he can work with us, confirming the word with signs following. And I thank you for the answer. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Now if we can have a little organ music, if somebody needs to come. And I remember after a service like this many years ago in 6th and Fir, and I came up and flopped on the altar. And I said, Lord, if you want me to go to Tibet wearing only a sweater, I'm your man. Oh, I pleaded with the Lord. And then finally I knew the Lord was going to speak to me. I knew that. And the pianist was playing parallel octaves with marvelous fluency. I've never been able to do it. That was a gift he had. And here I'm in Tibet with my sweater on. And the Lord's, I knew he's going to speak. So I'm at the altar down in 6th and Fir in San Diego, and I turn over on my back, and the Lord says, I love you. That's all he said. I knew the session was over, Nancy. I knew it was over. So I got up and went on my way. So when you pray, don't think that God's going to give you a scorpion. He'll give you something nourishing and good. So don't be afraid to pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay, I want someone to come up here and pray with this young man. I want a man to come up and pray with this young man at the altar. And the rest are dismissed.